What's shaking, Red Nation? It is our first show of the season. Tonight is opening night, Rockets Wolves tonight, but we're previewing the whole season here on this episode of The Dream Take, presented by The Dream Shake. Jeremy Brenner here, and tonight we've got a lot to talk about. I can't do this alone, so I've brought my co-pilot, Mr. Raymond Lucas, on here with me. Ray, what's going on, brother?
Not much. I'm just super excited that basketball's back. It's truly the best time of the year.
Absolutely. And Michael Brown has the night off tonight. So it's just going to be me and Ray talking. We do have a live audience here on Spotify Green Room. Thank you so much to those who listen to us live. If you have a question, feel free to go swipe right. You got your chat chat bar over there on the right side of your screen. You can chat. We can read it throughout the show. And maybe during the latter part of the show, we could bring some of you guys up here to talk all things Rockets. But Ray, one thing, you can only pick one, but pick one thing you're most excited about for this upcoming season.
I think I'll go with I'll go with the easy one and say Jalen Green. I'm excited to see just what type of rookie year he has, because I think no matter how good it is or bad it is, he's still going to be a rookie, so we kind of have to judge it like that. But, I mean, we've talked about it a little bit, and you feel like he's going to have a super big rookie year. I feel like he might have a lot of responsibilities, and so it might hinder that. But I think the best thing about sports is that we get to see it unfold right before our eyes. So I'm just super excited to see, like, what type of season he has, if he has one that's, like, more, little bit of struggles like we've seen with Lonzo Ball, or like we've seen with Anthony Edwards last year, who they're going to play in game one, who just really took off. And it's just, I'm excited for it.
Yeah, absolutely. And we'll talk a little bit later in the show. I've got a segment with Canis Hoopus contributor Logan Alton at the end of the show, and we're talking a little bit more about tonight's matchup against the Timberwolves. But I would say, at the same time, you know, there's not a whole lot of rookies that get the opportunity to start right away. And Jalen Green's going to be one of those guys. Another one of those guys that might be getting that opportunity is Alperen Şengün. Now, Steven Silas has not confirmed what the starting lineup is going to look like. We saw a couple of different configurations during the preseason. We saw Eric Gordon. We saw Daniel House. We saw Jae'Sean Tate. We even saw Alperen Şengün get a run in the starting lineup, albeit it was in place of Daniel Theis. But there is a lot going on in this starting five that we're still not sure of. And I think that's going to be kind of a work in progress, especially during this first part of the season. But I'm really excited about Alperen Şengün. I think, you know, we talked about it on the Hot Takes episode, where I think Alperen Şengün is going to beat expectations more than Jalen Green is. And a lot of it has to do with the fact that Jalen Green has very high expectations. I think Jalen's going to have a great year, but at least for a rookie. But I do think Alperen Şengün is going to warrant as much excitement as Jalen Green is, at least, you know, from a Rockets point of view, because his game is so different compared to most bigs in the league. And I think he's just, I get the most joy out of watching him, honestly. And that's not a slight against Jalen Green. That's not a slight against anyone else on the roster. I just really like his game, and I'm really excited to see how that moves during his first NBA season, because we've seen how he worked at Beşiktaş, and he was able to win the MVP last season. So we're getting a league MVP, albeit not an NBA MVP, not yet at least, but we've got an MVP on this roster. I'm really excited to see what Şengün's got. And honestly, that's a lot of the Rockets this year. High upside guys, and they're looking to kind of just figure these guys out. A lot of high upside guys. But let's kind of flip the script a little bit. Is there somebody, Ray, that you're kind of like not as excited about, or maybe that just doesn't, like, that you're kind of like scratching your head as to like why he has as much of a role in this team as he should?
Yeah, I think I'm going to say the popular answer here, and I'll go with Daniel House. And it's nothing really against him. I think it's just he's in a situation. Like, the Bobo mistake was a Bobo mistake. I've moved on from that. I don't really care for it, like, to this day. You know, mistakes happen. People do things and we move on, as long as it's, like, not a crazy mistake, like, you know, John Gruden or something like that. But we just move on and keep it pushing. But I think for him, he's just – he's coming in. He's going to try to get minutes in a, on a team that has Kevin Porter Jr., Jalen Green, who we know both are going to start, Josh Christopher, who's going to be fighting for minutes and is super young, and he'll probably be coming up and down from the G League. But if he's playing well enough, he'll come up because, I mean, what do the Rockets have to lose? Then there's Jay Sean Tate, Eric Gordon still on the team, and it just goes on and on from there. So I think his – I understand why he's still on the roster because, I mean, if they were to trade him, what would they really get? But I think it's just – he's going to have a bit of a rough year because there's not really a fit for him when you look at the team. It sucks because, you know, he seems like someone who really wants to be involved and really wants to come and contribute, but there's just not really any space for him.
Yeah, and I think the same can unfortunately be said about Eric Gordon. You know, I think we've talked almost every year since he's been here about, you know, when is the team going to move on from Eric Gordon? And that extension that he got right before Daryl Morey left kind of puts the Rockets in a bit of a pickle. But he is, at this point, I would say, other than Christian Wood, the best trade asset. And if you don't consider Christian Wood a trade asset, then yes, Eric Gordon is the team's best trade asset. And I expect the Rockets to play a lot of Eric Gordon and play a lot of Daniel House so that they are able to showcase these guys for a potential trade in the December to early February timeline. And I think they can provide a lot of experience for this very young team. But at this point, the direction and the writing on the wall is not in their direction. It's not going towards Eric Gordon. It's not going towards Daniel House. And at this point, both of the guys, I assume, have been, you know, shopped around the league. And I do believe that they will be traded at some point during the year, or maybe even a buyout if they can't find anything. I could see that more with Daniel House. I don't know if Eric Gordon's going to go for a buyout just because there is so much money on the table. And the same goes for John Wall, too. I'm kind of curious to see how long John Wall lasts. You know, David Aldridge said that he predicts that the Heat will pick him up after he buys out with the Rockets. Where do you think that goes, Ray? Is John Wall on this roster on December 31st?
I highly, highly doubt it. Because, I mean, I think it's going to be super tough to find a trade partner because I don't think at this point there are any teams that are like super desperate.
Because if there was one, he'd probably be traded by now.
Yeah, and because like we're going into the season, teams want to build chemistry, especially with a guy who will probably start at point guard. And no one has even, it's not even been like a substantial rumor that's happened. So I think it will eventually lead to a buyout. And I don't think they'll wait super long to buy out a guy, especially because there seems to be good communication between them. And it's like a whole healthy situation. They just are deciding that it's best to move on. But going back to Eric Gordon, there's one thing that you said last time we spoke that I really liked, and that trading him near the deadline would be best because, you know, you just wait and teams get a little bit more desperate. And as you were saying that, I started to think and I was like, imagine if James Harden was still on the Rockets, right? And all the teams still made their offseason moves. So, like, the Lakers still went and got Russell Westbrook. But now Brooklyn's, like, trying to trade for James Harden in light of Kyrie Irving, like, not playing because of COVID or because of the vaccine. The haul and the buyout would be so much bigger because desperation causes that. So I think that's, I mean, it's like a super unrealistic thing, but I think that's like the benefit to holding on to those guys towards the deadline, like you want to do with Gordon.
Mm-hmm. And that's what happened with PJ Tucker last year at the deadline. You know, there was a lot of people thinking, oh, how are we going to get even a second round pick for PJ Tucker? And he ended up going for a little bit more than just a second round pick. Obviously we had DJ Augustine, DJ Wilson in that deal, but also the trade swap, the pick swap that got us the late first instead of the early second that eventually netted the Rockets Josh Christopher. So that's, I think, so far, I mean, the Bucks have definitely won that side of the trade because PJ Tucker was a starter on that championship team last season. So the Bucks got their end of the deal, but I'm hoping the Rockets can definitely get something out of Josh Christopher. We'll talk a little bit more about Josh Christopher and Usman Garuba in a little bit. But I kind of want to go through the next couple of segments of the show in like pairs. So I want to discuss Kevin Porter and Christian Wood, and then we'll go with KJ Martin and Jayshon Tate, and then we'll go with the rookies. So let's start with obviously Kevin Porter and Christian Wood here. We've got some discourse going on in our chat bar here live on Spotify Green Room. We've got Omo here. He's asking, why are some fans so convinced that KPJ can play the point guard position? I think he should be a scorer off the bench. And then Michael responded with, it's all about giving him the opportunity to succeed or fail in that position. He has the vision, the handle, the athleticism. These next few years will show if he has the decision-making and feel for that position that's needed as well. And yes, that I think, you know, he hasn't really gotten the opportunity in a full season to fully be able to take the reins of a team. And I truly believe, Ray, I don't know about you, this is Kevin Porter's team. I know a lot of people are saying it's Jalen Green. A lot of people are saying it's Christian Wood, but I do believe the best player on this team currently is Kevin Porter Jr. Would you agree with that? I knew you would say that because you are Seattle born and bred. But
I had a little bit of bias there, but I think talent is just it's really a guard-driven league. It's not like how it used to be where, you know, today guards will take you about as far as your team is going to go. Like we've seen it with the Suns and Devin Booker, and obviously that team was super talented, but they needed Devin Booker. And there were times when Devin Booker was scoring 40 in the finals and they were still losing, because that's just how much a guard brings to you. They're able to just drag you and pull you to where you need to be. And then, I mean, if you come up short, you just come up short. And I know that's, it's stressful, but I mean, you wouldn't look at Portland and say that Damian Lillard is out there getting empty stats because he's scoring 50 points and his team is losing. And so I think people might, I was writing it in an article, I think people might try to send that towards Kevin Porter Jr.'s way or Jalen Green's way if they start to struggle a little bit. But I think empty stats is just such a, I feel like it's a thing that we use for young players because their teams suck. But I mean, they're a lottery pick and the team's going to be in the lottery again. So I've never really understood that.
Yeah, for me, with Kevin Porter, the thing about him is that he has the ball in his hands. He wants to average 10 assists this season. He is embracing that point guard role because Steven Silas is giving him the keys to the offense. He's saying, you know, Scoot, go out and lead this team on offense. And I do think that there is going to be a bit of a learning curve there. You know, he hasn't really been that main guy yet in his NBA career. We saw a little bit of that in the bubble. You know, that James Harden comparison still rears its ugly head sometimes. I wouldn't say he's quite there yet, but this is sort of the genesis of Kevin Porter. We kind of got the prelude last season, especially with that 50 burger that he dropped against Milwaukee. But I think this year is going to be the first chapter of the Kevin Porter era here in Houston. I really do think that he has the... I think he has the tools necessary to be a point guard in the league. I mean, in terms of, I think what Omo was saying about him being like a scorer off the bench, I mean, I think he can play that role as well, but I also think that he's best in the starting unit because he is the best player on the team. I think you have to play your best player in the starting five. And then I'd say, you know, it's kind of a toss-up between Jalen Green and Christian Wood as to who is the second best player. But considering we've, you know, I think Jalen Green is still trying to figure stuff out, but Christian Wood is, you know, you could argue that this is his prime. He's in his mid 20s. I want to say he's like 26. Is that right? 26, 27. He's somewhere around there. But like Christian Wood, this, we could see peak Christian Wood this season. He's 26 years old. He just turned 26. So, you know, it's his second year in Houston. Last year, a bit of a mulligan considering all of the injuries and all of the messiness of last season. But Christian Wood, what does he need to do to take that next step to be that much better of a big, of a player on this team, right?
Yeah, so last year as he was starting to make jumps and just – start to really take over games, people were using the comparison of Anthony Davis because they have similar movements. They have a similar jump shot. They're both like operating in that high post area. But I think the thing about Anthony Davis is that he is an amazing defender. And I think for a big man in this league, you have to be an amazing defender, because it's really tough to win games if you're not great down there, especially with some of the bigs that the league has today. And, you know, Anthony Davis, he's a guy who you're going to, even when he was younger, you're fine with him guarding the premier bigs in the league. I can't say the same thing about Christian Wood, and I think that's what the biggest step he needs to make. I'm not saying he's a bad defender, but he's not a great defender, and he's not, I think he needs to develop towards that all NBA defender type of thing.
Yeah, and, you know, the team went out, got Daniel Tice to kind of shore up that defensive front, maybe give Christian Wood less of a responsibility on the defensive end, but that's what good defensive teams are. Good defensive teams have two very plus defenders in that front court to be able to protect the rim, and not saying that Christian Wood can't be that guy, but that is probably the one part of his game that he can unlock that he hasn't done yet. I think the offensive part of his game is there, especially, you know, 21 points per game last season, nearly 10 boards. He has the ability to be a 20-10 guy, but the defense is where he needs to step up. And if he can get there, if he can progress in that department, he only becomes that much better. And the guy like him who is approaching a contract year next season, I do think that we could see Christian Wood want to get to that point, because he does want to prove that he is worth more than the $14 million a year that he got. Keep in mind, like guys like Landry Shamet got like $11 million a year, and guys like what all those extensions that happened earlier in the week. You look at Mikal Bridges got like, you know, way more. And obviously, look, apples and oranges, they play different positions and all of that. But Christian Wood is better than Mikal Bridges. Mikal Bridges is a great player too, but Christian Wood is better than him. And Mikal Bridges is making after this year, 90 by four. That's a lot of money. That's like what? 20, 22 and a half. Yeah. That's my quick math right there. So like that's a significant amount of money. And I think Christian Wood wants to make that kind of money, especially considering he is, you know, approaching like the halfway point in his career possibly. So I think Christian Wood, we're definitely going to see a jump from him this year. Two other guys I think we're going to get jumps from this year are the second year players, Jayshon Tate and KJ Martin. I'm really excited to see these two guys play. Now, Jayshon Tate, I guess, played majority of the starts at the three last year. Do you think that's the best position for him on this team again, Ray?
Yeah, I do. And I also think it benefits him in the league that we're in today, where it's not like traditional. You don't have a traditional point guard, shooting guard, small forward, and so on. And at every position, I think you can throw Tate on at the three and then ask him to guard the other team's best player, as long as, you know, he's not a big man or something like that, and be perfectly fine with that. And yeah, if it's like a small forward, and they're like more of a guard type of body, I don't think too much about it, especially because this is a team that's building. I think we've seen in Houston when they were playing against the Prime Warriors how P.J. Tucker was on Kevin Durant and he was a little too small. And Jayshon Tate's going to have that same issue, but I also think that he's the best possible defender, and he's too small to like plug in at the four, because you're going to want that rebounding, and then obviously you're not going to start him over. Or it doesn't really matter to me whether it's like Jalen Green at the three or at the two, or Jayshon Tate's at three or two, because I think they all are just kind of fluid in that way, if that makes sense.
Yeah, no, that definitely makes a lot of sense. That's the benefit of a guy like Jayshon Tate, who's 6'4", but he can play pretty much all five positions, and he has the ability, and he's a plus defender in my eyes. That's something that, you know, that could kind of, I guess, similar to how Tice can do that for Christian Wood, I think he can do that for Jalen Green and Kevin Porter, and he can do the dirty work for you and allow the scorers of this team to be, you know, Kevin Porter, Jalen Green. Let those guys score, because that's their strength, and let Jayshon Tate anchor that part of the defense. I think his three-point shooting definitely needs work. We definitely we covered that over on our season preview over at thedreamshake.com. We've got previews over all the guys on this roster, so go check thedreamshake.com out. Darren wrote Jayshon Tate's piece a few days ago. So, yeah, that's something that he mentioned in his preview, and I couldn't agree more. I think if we can get more of a three-point shot from Jayshon Tate, that's all that he needs. You know, he can be like a P.J. Tucker in a way. And P.J. Tucker, like, that's what made him playable. And that's kind of what made him unplayable last season with the Rockets, is that P.J. was, you know, just not the same three-point scorer that he was back when the Rockets were competing for the NBA championship. So that's something I really want to see from Jayshon Tate. And then we get into KJ Martin, someone else that could use a bit of a uptick in his three-point shooting. But other than that, like, KJ Martin, his athleticism last season was, you know, one of the highlights of the Rockets season. And that's something that, again, I'm looking forward to even more so in his sophomore year. What do you think, Ray? What can KJ Martin do to make that second year jump that he needs to make?
I think just becoming more than just that athletic guy that will dunk on guys and block shots. I think that's amazing. Like, it's not taking anything away from that. There's nothing better than a young guy who's athletic and knows how to play above the rim rather than under it. So he has that going for him. But I think for him to have I think he'll have a future in this league, even if he stays like that. But I think for him to like have a substantial future and for him to have those bigger contracts is just slowing the game, slowing down for him a little bit, hitting those threes, going on the drive, and then like dishing, because there's going to, since he's a dunker, he's going to have guys that are running up at him as soon as he takes off. Because if they don't, then they're going to end up on a poster every single time. So they're either going to get out the way or they're going to run up and try to stop him before he can get in like the paint and down in that, just super deep into the paint. And so I think it's
like, make him a threat. Make him a threat from the outside, because if you have him as a threat on the inside, you put him in the dunker spot, and then, but if you have him space the floor, and if he can be able to shoot the three, I mean, he shot the three ball 36% last season, pretty solid, just not a very large volume of that three. So if we can get more of a threat from the 3-point line, it's going to open up this offense tremendously. And moving on, we don't have a lot of time today, so we're trying to get through this pretty quickly. But let's go to the rookies now. Let's go to the second batch of the rookies, the back-to-back picks late in the first. We got Usman Garuba, and we've got Josh Christopher. Now, two guys that are probably not going to start in this rotation or at the beginning of the season, but as the season progresses and as the Rockets are probably not going to be playing for as much as they are in the first part of the season, how many games do you think, Ray, that Usman Garuba plays this season? 1 to 82, or I guess zero, but I mean, we hope he plays at least one game. So 0 to 82, how many games is Usman Garuba playing this season?
That's pretty tough. I think he'll play more games after the All-Star break. So I'm thinking maybe around 40-ish. I think that's a comfortable number, because I think right now it's just super clogged, and NBA teams, they don't want to have a super deep rotation, because although we don't expect the Rockets to win a bunch of games, it's not like they're going to just throw everybody on the court and get beat down every game. So I think he'll be a guy that comes on once those, like that Eric Gordon trade starts to happen or other deals start to happen. I think with him, it's like more of a after the All-Star break type of thing. Although I think he'll make a quick impact on the Rockets, because defense translates no matter how offensively limited you are, defense is always going to be there for you, and it's always going to be there for him.
Yeah, the Rockets needed to get better in the scoring department, specifically the three-point scoring department, and they needed to get better in the defensive market. And they did that with the acquisition, or the drafting, I should say, of Usman Garuba. And I think he's honestly ready to play in the NBA defensively, for sure. Offensively, there is a little bit left to be desired, which is why he's probably going to stick in the G League for a little bit. There are players at the four that are more offensively advanced than Garuba is, and I think that once he gets to that point where he doesn't even need to be he doesn't need to be Mr. Scorer on offense, and that's not what he is. That's not what he was at Real Madrid. He was a defensive stalwart, and that's what he's projected to be in the NBA, and that will give him a career in the NBA. I just, once he gets to that point offensively where he can stay on the court, then we've got something cooking here. And I don't know when it's going to start cooking for Usman Garuba. I hope it's sooner rather than later. But I'm going to say he plays about 30 games. I think that he's going to play maybe a handful of these games before this G League season starts. And then maybe as the season goes on, you know, he'll play in the G League. And you know, maybe if there are some injuries, guys like Daniel Tice, KJ Martin, if they fall down, Usman Garuba is going to be called upon. So hopefully he'll be ready for that moment when it comes. Just not sure if that moment is going to be coming anytime soon. And same with Josh Christopher. Honestly, I think Josh Christopher, he benefits from the fact that John Wall is not going to be playing for the Rockets, but he still also is the victim of a clogged backcourt that has already, you got guys like, you know, obviously KPJ, Jalen, you got DJ Augustine in there, Eric Gordon. I think Josh Christopher is a good fit for the Rockets, but I think in this first half of the season, at least, he's gotten the short end of the stick.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. I think his role moving forward is going to be that he's going to be that guy who comes in and keeps the pressure going when KPJ or Jalen Green come out the game. And you really need that. You really need that guy, especially someone who's going to accept that role at such a young age. But like you said, not this year, it's just we're not going to see much of it.
He's like he's an energizer off the bench kind of guy. I think he could be like a Jordan Clarkson, like a Lou Williams kind of guy who can play some point, who can, but most importantly, get instant offense off the bench. And he had a pretty good that's what he was in the preseason. He had a pretty good preseason, especially that first game against the Wizards when he scored, I want to say, like 11, 12 points in the last couple of minutes to win the game. He was the reason for that. So I think Josh Christopher has a future in this league. I really do. And I hope it's with the Rockets, but I just think for right now, it's not where it's at. I think Josh Christopher is also going to play about 30, 40 games. Would you agree with that?
Yeah. Same of Garuba.
Yeah. I mean, look, if DJ Augustine gets injured, they'll probably bring him up and I wouldn't be surprised if he gets some run. But I think at this point, you know, Josh Christopher could also benefit from some G League stuff, get him, you know, acclimated to attacking the rim with a little bit more force. That's something we saw in the summer league that could be an area of improvement for Jacob. But I think at this point with Josh Christopher, it's another developmental project. And the Rockets have so many of these developmental projects on the roster that they are going to let this season go by and wins and losses aren't not going to matter as much, but the energy in the thermometer of the season and the, I guess the scale, I should say, of the success of this season will be dependent on whether these guys are developing, whether these guys are showing signs that they can be a member of the team when they are good again. And if these guys are, you know, proving that they are NBA players.
I couldn't agree more. I think if, you know, if the Rockets are one of the bottom three teams in the league, I don't think it would necessarily be as big as a disappointment as people will make it out to be, because I think the biggest, I mean, obviously it'd be disappointing, but I don't think it'd be this catastrophic event, because I think the most important thing is, like you said, developing, watching that chemistry grow, and just seeing, like, if Kevin Porter Jr. is taking that next step, if Jalen Green looks comfortable next to Kevin Porter Jr., if Christian Wood is improving on defense, and just all the things that we've listed, those are what we want to see. And obviously you want to see wins, but it just doesn't, it doesn't seem realistic.
Yeah, so we have a little bit of breaking news here on the podcast right now. The NBA just announced that they are revealing a 75th anniversary team with 75 of the NBA's best players. And there are some Rockets on it, Ray. I'm not sure if you've seen this tweet, but I'm counting right now. We have at least one, two, three, four. We've got at least five Rockets here, and maybe an argument for a sixth. So do you want to guess any of these Rockets that are on this 75th anniversary team?
Yeah, so I'm looking at the green room screen, so I'm not cheating.
All right.
James Harden obviously will be on.
Harden is on this list.
That's the easy one. Or I guess Hakeem would be the easy one.
Hakeem is also on this list. Our namesake at the Dream Shake, but What else you got? You got three more.
Is Tracy McGrady
Who's on it?
Is Tracy McGrady
Tracy
on
McGrady's
it?
Not on it. So that's one. Yeah, that's one strike. I'll give you three strikes.
I know Yao Ming won't be on. There's someone I'm missing. There's someone like super easy that I'm not getting it. I think I might strike out. I'm on the spot.
Yeah, any more guesses or you're just gonna pop out?
Does Russell Westbrook count?
No, Russell Westbrook's not on this list. That's strike two.
They didn't put him on the top 75?
Well, they've done this list and they're breaking it down into three different days. So this was the first day reveal, and the second day reveal will be tomorrow afternoon or Wednesday afternoon, and then Thursday night they'll reveal the final 25.
Oh, I see. That makes sense. I'm just
one more guess.
I need to use more classic teams on 2K. This is clearly the issue. I don't got nothing.
I'll give you a hint. One of the guys is on TNT.
Oh, Kenny Smith.
No, it's not Kenny Smith.
Not Kenny. I mean Charles Barkley.
No, Kenny's on our 75th anniversary team, but not on this NBA team. So yeah, Charles Barkley is on this list, as well as Elvin Hayes.
I said Kenny Smith.
So Charles Barkley, James Harden, Hakeem Olajuwon, Elvin Hayes is on this list. Moses Malone is on this list, and the kind of sort of sixth one was Kevin McHale. Not necessarily a Rockets player, but a Rockets head coach. So there you go. Also on this list, Kareem, Giannis, Tiny Archibald, Bob Cousy, Dave Collins, KD is on this list, Dr. J, George Gervin, so many more on this list. But let's play another quick game before we sign off, or maybe even ask a couple questions from the audience if they have any. But we're going to go rapid fire. I'm going to name the rest of the players we haven't talked about, and we can give them like three words of what you can expect from them this season. All right. Does that sound good, Ray? All right. I'm putting you under a lot of pressure now, but here we go. All right. So we'll start this with DJ Augustine. Three words about DJ Augustine.
A solid veteran guy.
Solid veteran guy. I like that. Armani Brooks.
Takes the next step.
I like that too. I'll accept. Then we've got David Nwaba.
Sees a bit of regression. Dang, I'm not getting three words. Ooh. It's okay.
You know what? I'll take it. It's a sentence. I'll limit you to a sentence. How about that? Daniel Tice. All
right, that works. Underperforms his contract.
Okay. And now we've got the two-way guys. Dacian Nix.
Won't see much of him.
Yeah, I think they brought him in because he is, you know, he was a teammate of Jalen Green's in the bubble. So he does have that going for him. I think Josh Christopher is obviously the guy that they're going to look at more than Dacian Nix. But, you know, you can't count out these two-way guys because these two-way guys, they find a way to stick in the league sometimes. You got guys like, you know, look at Armani Brooks. I mean, he played his two-way contract into, you know, a full-length, you know, contract for the Rockets. So I don't want to, you know, discredit these two-way guys. So that's why I mentioned Dacian Nix. I'm also going to ask you to talk a little bit about Garrison Matthews, who the team recently signed.
Oh, the super fresh face. I'll go with also won't see much, but kind of intriguing.
Yeah, you know, he is a three-point specialist, this Garrison Matthews guy. And, you know, I'm glad that they addressed that, and I'm glad that they are looking for that spark. He started some games for the Wizards last year. He started 24 games for the Wizards last season. He averaged about 5 points a game, but he shot 30, almost 39% in his career, 82 games. So he's played a full NBA season. He's averaged almost, you know, 39% from the three-point line. So there's a lot to like about these high upside guys. And that's what this Rockets team really is. It's a bunch of high upside guys that we don't really know how they're going to pan out. I think, you know, majority of the teams in the league are a lot further along in their quest for a championship than the Rockets are. But this season is going to be about finding out who these guys really are and if these guys are going to take that next step. The second-year players, the younger players, like guys like Armani Brooks, guys like, I'm blanking, but KJ Martin, Jay Sean Tate, there you go. And then these rookies, see what they're all about. See, let them get their first dip in the water. So we've got a lot to be excited about for this Rockets season. So I'm going to ask you, Ray, I'm going to ask you for a final record for this team. How many games is this team going to win? On a 0 to 82, I'll accept any of those numbers, although some of the numbers that are in that range are a bit questionable on each end. So what do you got? How many wins is this Rockets team going to get?
So they won 15, right?
They won 17 games last year. Out of 72.
I think
I'm sure they're playing 82.
I'm thinking 28-29. I like that.
28-29?
Because I just
– All right.
I think they could end up being a little better. Actually, no, that might be a little low. Let me do that again.
Where does that put them in the West? Are they 15th? Are they 14th, 13th?
I'm guessing they'll be four. I don't know. I can't think of a team in the West that they're like just objectively better than, because you know injuries happen. I think all it takes is one of these guys to get injured and they're going to be losing a whole lot. So I'll give them 14 though. I don't want to say 15, so I'll go 14.
All right. I think they're going to finish 13th in the West. I think they are better than Oklahoma City, and I think they're better than San Antonio. San Antonio got worse of the offseason. They didn't really have much of a replacement for DeMar DeRozan, who signed with the Chicago Bulls. And then, you know, guys like Derek White are still hurt. I'm not feeling this Spurs team. I'm really not. So that's why I think the Rockets will be better than them. I think the Thunder, also a team that's actively tanking, that's another team I'm not super high on. So I think the Rockets are going to finish 13th in the West, and I think they're going to win about 20. I'm going to go 30 games. 30 and 52 is my record for these guys. I think that's very generous. That's like part of the Rockets fan in me that wants them to be better than what they are. You know, Mike has said that he thinks this team can compete for a playoff spot. That is very wishful thinking. But if that happens, no one will be happier in the world than Jeremy Brenner. I'll say that. But you know, this season, I just urge these Rockets fans, like, because this is the first time in a very long time that the Rockets have not been expected to really do much in the season, or at least contend for the playoffs. And so just this team is going to be different than what we've seen in the last, you know, almost 20 years. But what I urge Rockets fans is just enjoy the ride. Don't worry about the wins and losses. Don't worry if guys have a rough night. Don't worry if these guys lose by 30, you know, on any night, because that's going to happen. That's going to happen during the season. But what we're also going to get this season, we're also going to get a lot of positive development from these guys. Jalen Green is going to be super fun to watch. Kevin Porter is also going to be super fun to watch. There isn't a guy on this roster that I'm like, you know, disappointed about watching. So I think just enjoy this. It's a different kind of enjoyment, but there is a lot to like about this Rockets team. And I urge you guys to stick along for the ride, because when this team is good again, it's going to feel really good. And it's going to feel really good because we were able to start watching this team build itself from the ground up. And this is the next step towards the future. This is the start of the rest of your life, the beginning of the rest of your life. Sure. I guess, you know, not, I mean, that's a bit dramatic, but I'm a pretty dramatic person. So there you go. But Ray, any last words before we move over to our next segment with Logan?
Yeah, I think in the wise words of Aaron Rodgers, relax. That's going to be I mean, people are going crazy over a preseason game, so I can't imagine how stressed out people are going to be during this regular season. But just relax, because just like everything you just said, all that is supposed to happen. That's what a rebuild looks like. And it's going to be fun when they're good again. But part of the rebuild is having to suffer those losses. So,
yeah, you know, it's going to be frustrating at times, but I guarantee you guys, basketball is back. The Rockets are back. And there is no better time of the year. I truly mean that. So, Ray, thank you so much for coming on the show. I've pre-recorded a segment with Logan Alton of Canis Hoopus to talk more about tonight's game against the Minnesota Timberwolves. So I'm going to just send you guys over to that. And it's right now. All right, Red Nation, to close our show today, we do have a game tonight. We've talked about the whole season in the first part of our show, but I do want to give some attention to this first game, game number one of 82 against the Minnesota Timberwolves. And I've brought on someone that is new to the SB Nation family, so I would love to congratulate him and welcome him onto the show. It's Logan Alton. He is the newest writer for Canis Hoopus, our sister site over all things Timberwolves.com. So, Logan, congratulations on the new gig, and how are you doing?
Thank you. I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm doing fantastic. We've got basketball on tonight. There's a whole lot of excitement in the air for not just the Houston Rockets, but for the Minnesota Timberwolves as well. Two young teams tonight. Someone's going to get their season started off on the right foot, and Minnesota's at home, so they are the favorites tonight, but I wanted to get your perspective a little bit on the Wolves before we get into tonight's game. So what is one thing, like the primary thing that stood out in this offseason for the Timberwolves?
Yeah, so one of the biggest developments I've seen is Anthony Edwards and his defense. He went from being lost to throughout this preseason looking like he's at least an average to good defender, which is, in my opinion, was one of the biggest swing skills for the Wolves for their like short term success, and it's went a long ways. And then like they switched the defense as well. They're now doing a more switch heavy rather than the drop coverage, and that's going to help Karl Anthony Towns, going to help D'Angelo Russell, going to help Anthony Edwards, and hopefully go a long way with the Timberwolves.
Yeah, so last season was another tumultuous one for the Wolves, and it also featured a coaching change mid-season. And very rarely do you see a coach hired from a different organization come to the team. But this is Chris Finch's first full year in Minnesota. He's had a full offseason to kind of, you know, really dissect this team and figure out what works, what doesn't work. So how much do you think that's going to play a role this season for the Timberwolves?
Yeah, it's going to be huge. Chris Finch is, from everything I've heard and seen, is an amazing head coach, and I've heard nothing but great things about him. Ryan Saunders seemed like he was a little too raw still as a coach, and from the sounds of it, Gerson Rosas was a little restrictive to what Ryan Saunders could do. An example of this is playing Naz Reid and Karl Anthony Towns together. But Chris Finch has had a very long leash to be creative, and he's been able to do those things, like, you know, play those two together. And it'll help a lot now having Sachin Gupta in charge rather than Gerson Rosas too, as he seems a little more laid back and willing to help Chris Finch spread his wings.
There's a lot of connection between the Rockets and the Wolves. You have Chris Finch, used to be an assistant in Houston. You have Gerson Rosas, who also used to work in Houston. Sachin Gupta as well. But there's another guy also that recently was traded to the Timberwolves that has some history in Houston, and that's Patrick Beverley. Obviously, with the guard rotation that Minnesota has, you know, Ricky Rubio was there last year. Now they shipped him off to Cleveland, and so is Patrick Beverley going to start for the Wolves? Is he going to come off the bench, let D'Angelo Russell take the first unit? Are they going to play together? What do you think Patrick Beverley's role is with this Timberwolves team? And how important of a player could he be?
Yeah, so him as a player is huge. He's that like locker room presence where he's going to hold the guys accountable, help everybody on like defense, motivate them to play defense. And like he freed up Chris Finch to kind of trust the defense more and be a little more creative. His role on the team is up in the air. So right now there's four guaranteed starters. There's Karl Anthony Towns, D'Angelo Russell, Anthony Edwards, and Jaden McDaniels. From there, it's we might know by the time this comes up, but from there it could be either Taurean Prince, Jared Vanderbilt, Malik Beasley, Josh Okogie, or Patrick Beverley. And they've all spent time in the preseason game starting, but Chris Finch hasn't really revealed his hand quite yet. He said that they might even just kind of switch out dependent on game scenarios or what have you. But Patrick Beverley's like role himself will be to, whether he's starting or on the bench, will be to help the defense. He'll probably get minutes beside D'Angelo Russell. Chris Finch did say he wanted to see more of that. And then he'll also probably get minutes beside Anthony Edwards. And he's a very valuable 3-and-D guy that the Wolves just haven't really had. Jaden McDaniels is the closest thing, like, and he was still very raw all of last season.
Yeah, you mentioned raw, and I think that's something that the Wolves and the Rockets share a bit in common. I do think the Wolves are a little bit further along that, obviously, with Karl-Anthony Towns, who's entering, what is it, year 7 now? Is this the 7th year in the NBA? He came in at 15, so 16, 18, 19, 20. Yeah, this would be his 7th year in the NBA, which is crazy to me because I remember the night he was drafted like it was yesterday. But so you have him, you have Anthony Edwards, Jaden McDaniels. Both of those guys got their third-year options exercised by the team, so they're there for at least this season and next. And you have a load of guys. Even though this team didn't have a draft pick this past offseason, they are an extremely raw bunch, and same could be said about the Rockets with all of our rookies and all of our young players. I think like probably half the rotation is going to be guys that were in their first or second season. So let me try to get what you think is going to happen tonight. Let's look at this Rockets Timberwolves matchup and try to see what could possibly happen. So obviously with Houston, we talked about it during the show about how we've got just a lot of question marks on the team, a lot of potential though. But where do you think, like, what do you expect from the Timberwolves on night one of this new season that could be, correct me if I'm wrong, this team feels like, you know, you just listed all those guys. This team feels like the deepest it's been since Jimmy Butler was there.
I full-heartedly agree. I think tonight, so Patrick Beverley is suspended for tonight, so that kind of hurts, but
That helps us. I'll say that. That helps Houston.
But I still think that the Wolves should come out and, you know, get the job done, get a victory, probably, hopefully a decisive one over the Rockets, who seem like they're still in a rebuilding phase. But who knows? Jalen Green could drop 30 in his debut.
That would be something that everyone in Red Nation would feel very happy about. I think, you know, tonight with it being opening night and all of that, there's a lot of pent-up energy from the offseason, especially from guys that are young, that are, you know, kind of just waiting to get their feet wet. And I'm curious to see how this game's going to go. Obviously, I hope we can get a Houston win, but I am very high on Minnesota this season. I'm actually very high on every team that isn't the Rockets, I feel, because I feel like the Rockets are starting from the ground up. But, you know, any given night, I think the Rockets are going to be a trap game for a lot of different teams. And this should be treated as such, because the Rockets have this ability to kind of just, you know, have all their cylinders hit when sometimes they shouldn't. I'm curious to see how that's going to go. You know, with Beverley being out, I do think that helps. That helps the guards with Kevin Porter Jr., Jalen Green. I think Kevin Porter is probably more likely to drop 30 than Jalen is. But if Jalen can drop 30 in his debut, that would be a sight to see. I'll say that. But I am worried about the Karl-Anthony Towns matchup with Christian Wood. I think it's going to be a really good matchup. I think those two match up really well. I think Daniel Tice could be also a guy that you see defending Karl-Anthony Towns tonight. I think this is a pretty evenly matched game. I do think the Wolves have the edge with them being at home, with them having more of, I would say, more experience on the roster, maybe a little bit more star power on their roster. But I think it's going to be a really exciting game, Logan. Do you have a score prediction? Who's going to drop more, Anthony Edwards or Jalen Green or Karl-Anthony Towns or Kevin Porter? Who has most points out of those four guys tonight?
I'm going to say other and go with D'Angelo Russell.
Oh, okay. All right. So I offered A, B, C, and D, and you said E. None of the above. I'm going with D'Lo. All right. Well, let's see. Is D loading finally loaded? That's what we're going to find out tonight in this season. But Logan, I appreciate you for your time, my friend. Thank you for coming on. I asked you literally, I think, 20, 30 minutes ago if you could do this. So I appreciate you for your time. And feel free to let the listeners know where they can find you and your work.
Yeah, of course. Thanks for having me on, by the way. I will be writing for Canis Hoopus, and that's part of SB Nation, as Jeremy said earlier. And then you can find me on Twitter at LALTENNBA.
Excellent, excellent. So, Logan, thank you so much. And before we sign off, you know, this is a big season for us here with the Dream Take. We are approaching now our 200. We're in like the 200th episode or something along the lines of when we recently, you know, revamped the podcast back when COVID started. So it's been 100 episodes. It's hardened my take. Then the trade happened. We had 100 more episodes, but we're only going to get bigger and better this season. We're going to have live episodes after games here on Spotify Green Room. We're also going to have episodes on Twitter and Facebook. We want to get as many corners of Red Nation involved. So we want to have more knowledge, more of a togetherness with our community this year. So be sure to find us on Twitter, on Facebook, on Green Room. We will post where every show goes on our Twitter account at The Dream Take. You can also check out at Dream Shake SBN for all things updates on the episodes. You can also head to thedreamshake.com, home of all things Houston Rockets on SBNation.com. You can follow me on Twitter at Jeremy Brenner. That's JeremyBrenner. You can also follow my co-pilots, Ray Lucas Jr. at Raymond Lucas Jr. on Twitter, and Mike, who's off somewhere in the Caribbean. You can follow him on Twitter at BSW_MB. Thank you guys so much for tuning into this episode. And until next time, happy season and go Rockets!